Good morning. I'm going to do a different kind of lesson this morning without PowerPoint. Kind of unusual for me, but sometimes time does not always go the way that we would hope. And the amount of time it takes to prepare a lesson and then get a PowerPoint together, sometimes there's just not enough time. It's good to see everyone who's out this morning. I would say, as looking amongst our membership, it looks like even amongst the COVID scenario, we have majority of our congregation together. And it is so good to see everyone out together worshiping our God. This morning, I want to talk about hunting for treasures. And as Cliff read this morning in the scripture reading in Matthew chapter 9, that's a familiar verse, one that we are extremely familiar with if we have been in the church for very long. But today, my goal is to talk about treasures in a different way than what is commonly taught from the pulpit. When you hear the word treasure, what comes to mind? Oftentimes when we hear the word treasures, we think about gold, and jewels, physical riches. We might think in our minds about pirates, those that are treasure thieves. We might think about a treasure map. You know, we've all heard the saying, you know, X marks the spot. That's where the treasure is on the map. And most of us have probably read books, seen movies, in which the theme of the movie is about a treasure and a lost treasure. I can think about movies like Pirates of the Caribbean, Raiders of the Lost Ark, or National Treasure. You know, throughout the world and in every generation, there are treasure hunters looking for and devoting their lives to finding lost treasures. There's a show, I think, on TV about an island somewhere, and it's on one of the Discovery Channels or History Channel, and I've heard people talking about the millions of dollars that have been spent trying to find this lost treasure that's supposed to be somewhere on this island. What exactly is a treasure? Depending upon where you look, what dictionary you read, who you talk to, you're going to get very different ideas of what a treasure is, but the basis, the fundamental definitions of a treasure is wealth that is stored up. So again, this idea of wealth, things that are of value, something or someone of great value. Some treasures are only treasures to ourselves. Something that is valuable to you or me, but to anyone else, it's of no value to them. We think of maybe heirlooms, something that has been passed down from generation to generation that to our neighbor, to anyone else, it would be meaningless. But to us, it has great value because of what it symbolizes, what it means, the story behind it, things of that nature. Most of us, if not all of us, wouldn't really consider ourselves to be treasure hunters. We're not out there with our picks and our shovels going around trying to dig up places and trying to find lost treasures. We're not going around with metal detectors, you know, all over the place trying to find some kind of treasure. And oftentimes that's kind of the picture we have when we start talking about treasure hunters. We're not going around looking for clues that would direct us to a hidden treasure like what we might find in those movies or those novels that we've read. But today I want to suggest to you that as Christians, as a disciple of Jesus, we need to be treasure hunters. You see, Jesus said that we need to lay up for ourselves treasures. He didn't say a treasure. And sometimes we always think of heaven, and we're always just focusing on heaven as the treasure. But Jesus said, plural, treasures, that we need to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. So for the next few minutes, I want to just look at four spiritual treasures that as Christians we should be hunting for and thus being a treasure hunter. You know, my last sermon I gave a month or so ago, we had 9 points. Today it's just four. So my goal was not to preach another hour like I did that time. But we have 4 points this morning. In some scriptures, and I hope that we'll see at the end of this lesson why it is so important for Christians to be treasure hunters. Open your Bibles to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Our first point I want us to look at is the treasure of having a relationship with God. In James chapter 4 and verse 8, James tells us, he says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. He says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. But I want us to focus on the idea of drawing near to God, and he will draw near to you. People often ask the question, why am I here? What is my purpose? Simply put, God created mankind to have a relationship with us. God created us to have a relationship with us. But the other question, what is my purpose? And I believe there's two answers. It's a two-sided coin, if you will. First, our purpose is to seek out that relationship. To seek it like a valuable treasure. And the other part of that purpose that we have is to teach others to seek out that relationship. See, it's not just that we would have that relationship, but we also need to teach others to have that relationship. And in turn, teach them to be a treasure hunter. So my question to you is, how valuable is a relationship with God to you? Do you consider it to be a treasure at all? This might be a difficult question for some of us. Maybe we don't even know the answer to that question. Maybe we're afraid of the answer, so we don't ask the question. Open your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 26, back in the Old Testament. Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 12. Now, God is talking here to a particular group of people known as the children of Israel. But today, in the church that Jesus died for, we are the spiritual Israel. God says, I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. From the very beginning, we can go all the way back to the book of Genesis. And we can see that God created man to have a relationship with him. And when they were in the garden, they had a perfect relationship. But unfortunately, sin entered the picture and changed that relationship. And now it requires us to seek out that relationship. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, going all the way towards the end of the Bible to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Here it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him." First thing I want us to point out is there is a relationship of God being our Father and we being His children. That is a special relationship, parents and their children. But also, I want us to understand, not everyone has a relationship with God. Here it clearly says, "Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him." It's not that everyone can't have a relationship, but not everyone is going to seek out that relationship as a treasure in order to find it and in order to have that relationship with our Heavenly Father. In Acts chapter 17, verses 26 through 27, we read, "And He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and He's determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us." God wants us to seek Him as a treasure, because a relationship with God is, there's nothing more valuable that we could ever have. Luke chapter 5 and verse 4. Luke chapter 5 and verse 4. Jesus is talking to the disciples that are in the boat. Jesus is on the shoreline. And He says to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." Why did Jesus tell Peter to leave the shoreline and to go out into the deep? Could they catch fish on the shoreline? Probably so. But you see, in the deep is where the greatest catch would be. So my question to you is, what is your relationship with God like? Is it just on the shallow sides of the shoreline? Are you afraid to have that deeper relationship with God? You see, a lot of times relationships are very shallow. They don't go too deep, do they? To be a child of God, we cannot just have a shallow, superficial type of relationship. We need to have that deep kind of relationship with our Heavenly Father in order to be able to enjoy the blessings of having a real relationship with our Heavenly Father. The final scripture we'll look at in relationship to this point of having a relationship with God as being a valuable treasure, a treasure that we need to be seeking. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. We look at this verse as talking about the need for faith, because in verse 6 it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." But it says, "For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that what? Diligently seek him." You see the value, the treasure that there is there in having a relationship with our God. We need to be seeking that relationship. And not just having a superficial type of relationship with our Heavenly Father. The next treasure that we need to be hunting for as Christians, we need to be searching like a valuable treasure, spiritual truth. In other words, God's Word. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. Again, we've heard these verses from the pulpit many times. Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given to you." What does he say next? "Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." Do you view God's Word and the truths that we find in God's Word as a treasure? As a treasure that needs to be sought after and found. What do we see in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11? Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. Paul mentions a specific group of people. We see in verse 10, if we go up one verse, "Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews." Verse 11 says, "These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so." You see, the Bereans received the word with readiness. What does that mean? It means that their minds were not shut up. It means that they had a willingness to hear God's word. Their minds weren't already made up about what they needed to be doing. They were ready to listen and to seek out that treasure of the truth. It says they searched the scriptures daily, hunting for the truth. You see, they valued the truth as a treasure and were willing to put in the time and the effort required to do what God's Word is designed to do. The more they dug for the truth, the more they found. What does it say in verse 12? "Therefore, many of them believed." You see, they sought after the truth. And when they found it, they believed it and they obeyed it. God has provided His Word so that we could learn of the truths that we need to know as one of His children. Do we truly value it as we should? As a priceless treasure in which the more we dig, the more we will find. Have you ever been studying the Bible, whether it's in an adult class setting, kind of like what you know we do on Wednesdays or on Fridays? Or maybe you're just sitting at home studying the Bible, and you read a passage that you have read many times before, but at that moment when you read it, you see it differently. Not because God's word is different, but because that passage at that moment is able to help you through something. It's able to help you get through a difficult time in your life. It's able to help you understand God a little bit more. Maybe it helps you to have that deeper relationship with God that you didn't have before. The only way we can have those moments with God's word is if we study it on a regular basis. We should never have the attitude, well, I've read those passages before, I don't need to read them again. Because just as I've said a moment ago, sometimes when we read scripture, maybe the light bulb comes off. You know, sometimes we use the term an epiphany. You know, the light bulb goes off. We have those aha moments where, aha, I finally understand it. Sometimes there are passages in God's word that at the moment we read it, we don't truly understand it. But as we mature as a Christian, and as we have that deeper relationship with God, and as we seek, and as we knock, it is open to us. Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Romans chapter 11, verse 33. It says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. See, God's word is very deep. Yes, we can stay on the surface. Yes, we can just know the basics. But other passages tells us that's just the milk. God requires us and expects us to dig deep, to get to the meat, to view it as a treasure that requires us to search so that we can find. Because it's unsearchable. What that means is that we can search and search the scriptures, and we're always going to find more understanding. There's never going to get to a point where we've learned it all. You know, there are games that people play that you get to the end and there's nothing else. You've done it all. You've beaten the game, as they say. Sometimes there's a joke out there about, you know, you've beat the internet. Think of God's word sometimes as the internet from a standpoint of you could never obtain it all. You can never see it all. You can search and search and search the internet, and you would never ever get to see it all. God's word, we can search and search and search, and we're never going to obtain perfect understanding. But we need to keep digging and finding those truths. Hosea states in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. I also will reject you from being priest for me, Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. How do we get knowledge? By seeking for it. By digging for it. By longing for it. We don't just wake up in the morning with our Bible sitting next to us and just miraculously, while we're sleeping, all that information just kind of permeates into our brain. We have to seek. And if we seek earnestly, we will find. And the knowledge that God has provided for us, we will be able to understand. The third treasure that we need to be treasure hunters for is the local church. What makes the local church a treasure that we should value? First and foremost, Jesus died and shed his blood for it. If for no other reason that we should ever have of why the church is important and it should be a treasure to us, is because our Savior gave his life for it. But the other reason that the church should be a treasure to us is that it serves a very valuable purpose in the life of a Christian. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, we know these verses. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Here the Hebrew writer tells us, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." We need to consider one another. If we value the church, the local church, this body that we are a part of, this local body, if we value it as a treasure, we will be doing the things within the church that strengthens the church, as we see here in Hebrews chapter 10. Encouraging one another to stir one another up. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 17 takes us a little bit further. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 17. Here the proverb writer says, "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. As iron sharpens iron." You know one truth about this passage? In order for iron to be able to sharpen iron, it has to come into contact with each other. Two pieces of iron sitting side by side as far as sharpening goes. But what's required? Those two pieces of metal have to come into contact with each other for the sharpening to take place. The same it is with the local body. In order for us to sharpen one another, in order for us to strengthen one another, in order for us to help each other in our walk towards heaven, we must come into contact with each other. We can't do it with everybody sitting in our homes. We can't do it while, you know, we're off doing our own things. We can only sharpen each other if we come into contact with each other. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Do you You see the value of the local church? Not only is it something that Christ died for, but it is something he put into place because he knew that his children were going to need each other. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Brother, and if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Verse 2. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We can't do these things if we're just sitting at home doing our own things. We must be involved in the work of the local church. We must be involved in the lives of one another in order to fulfill what God has created the church for. Contrary to what some may believe, Jesus did not set up the church just so we would have a place to come to on Sunday morning to be able to worship him. Yes, that is a part of being a disciple of Christ and a child of God. But there is so much more that needs to be done when we walk out those doors. Being part of a local body. But if we don't value the church as a treasure, then we're not going to be seeking out those things. We're just going to have a superficial kind of relationship. That is not what the church is for. What else makes the church valuable, the local church valuable? Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, and verse starting in verse 14, Paul is writing to the preacher Timothy. And he says, "These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly." He says, "But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God." He says, "Which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth." Well, just as point number two was the fact that we need to value God's word and the truths that are in it, we need to value the local church because it is to be a pillar and a ground of the truth. The church must become a valuable treasure to every Christian. Because if we value it as a treasure, we're going to be doing those things that make the local body what Christ intended for it to be. And as I stated a moment ago, not just a place for us to gather together on Sunday mornings. The final treasure that I want us to discuss this morning for a few minutes is the treasure of lost souls. Are souls valuable? Are souls valuable?
Amen, brother.
Can we see a soul? Can we see our soul? Is it something that we can grab and touch and we can hold on to and we can know that it's there? What does it take to know that a soul is valuable? It takes faith. Let me ask you a question. Is your soul valuable? What do you do to care for your soul. That will tell you if you believe your soul is valuable or not. You know, we can accumulate a lot of things in our lifetime. It seems like the bigger the house we have and the bigger the garage we have, the more stuff we accumulate. But oftentimes, as we start going through those things, we find that most of what we have is really not all that valuable to us. Just things that we have. Things that we shove in the corner. Things that we stick in a box and we put on the shelf. But there are a few things in this life that are very valuable to us, and we often take extreme care for those things. And if we are a child of God, we know that we have a soul, and we want to protect and care for that soul. And the first three things that we discussed in our lesson today about our relationship with God, the value that we should put on the truth in God's Word, the value that we should put on the local church and the treasures that are there, but just as we know that we have a soul, those that are in the world that are lost, they also have a soul. And Jesus shed his blood for every soul, not just those that are sitting in the pews today. And that makes every soul valuable. Every soul is a treasure. But some are lost, and some need to be found. But unfortunately, just like with any other treasure that might be out there, if we don't see the value in it, we will become indifferent towards it. Lost souls are treasures that every Christian should see the value and must be searching for. Luke chapter 15. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. Jesus gives us two parables here back to back, all with the same meaning behind them. Starting in verse 4 of Luke chapter 15, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on the shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' He says, 'I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance.'" And in verse 8, "Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost.' Jesus says, 'Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents.'" Do we see the value that God has placed on lost souls? They are treasures that we need to be seeking and finding. Is Jesus concerned about sheep and coins? Well, of course not. These parables tell us about the value of our souls. And when they are lost, they need to be found. And not only that, but Do we see anywhere else in Scripture what talks about the joys that will be in heaven? Jesus tells us here that when one sinner repents, there is great joy in heaven. Can we see the treasure of lost souls? They're worth the effort to find them and to do everything we can to restore them. So in conclusion this morning, I hope we can see there are more, obviously, treasures that we can learn about in God's Word. But these four treasures, I believe, are four treasures that we need to be seeking after. We need to be seeking after that relationship with God. We need to be searching God's Word for the truths, the treasures that we will find. Treasures, again, as Jesus said in Matthew, that we will be laying up for ourselves in heaven, not here on earth. We need to see the value and the treasure of the local church. And we need to see the value in the treasures of lost souls. Because again, where our heart is, that's where our treasure is. And we need our hearts to be fully engaged in these four things. Hope the lesson was beneficial to you this morning. My purpose on this lesson was not to give the, quote, traditional lesson about treasures and earthly treasures versus heavenly treasures, but for us to look at a couple of different examples of treasures that we have right here. If we can help you this morning, if there is something in your life that we can help you to seek these treasures in a way that is going to secure your home in heaven, let us know as we stand and sing the song of encouragement that has been selected. Song number 628.